Have you ever listened to a song and thought, this is an odd and strange one for sure, but I just can't stop listening to it? Well, in the 1980s, there were lots of songs on the radio that seemed to do that very thing, with some even becoming all-time classics. We're going to take a look at some of those odd 80s hits, so you definitely don't want to miss this all-new episode. Hello and welcome to Totally 80s and 90s Recall. On this podcast, we take a look at everything the memorable decades of the 80s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. We'll do this by providing our personal experiences and hopefully stir some rad memories, fun, and nostalgia along the way. If you're new to the show, we're so excited that you found us and we promise you'll have an awesome time. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by a guy who still gets blinded by science for some reason. It's the one and only Rob.
Hello. Hey, I want to welcome everybody who might find themselves functionally incapacitated from extreme nervousness, emotional distress, or mental or physical overwork. I can use big words too.
Yes.
Yeah. Hopefully you have the time to listen to us whine about nothing and everything all at once. Maybe you're just a melodramatic fool. Neurotic to the bone. We don't know.
It's possible.
Do you sometimes give yourself the creeps? Does your mind play tricks on you sometimes? Does it just all keep adding up? Do you think you're cracking up? Maybe you're just paranoid, or perhaps you're just stoned. It could happen. Maybe you went to a shrink to analyze your dreams, and she told you you have a lack of sex, and that's what's bringing you down. Seems like an odd diagnosis, but
it happens.
Then you did the only logical next step, is you sought the advice of a male prostitute.
Ah, yes.
And he had the audacity to tell you that your life is boring and to quit your whining because it's bringing your partner down. It's a classic story.
Yeah, just like Leave It to Beaver.
Right. But if you feel like you're grasping for control, you better hold on because you're in the right place.
You are.
Yeah.
Yes, male prostitute and all.
I mean,
that's great.
Seems like an odd place to get advice. But
that is an odd place to get advice. But sometimes we are an odd place to get advice from. So
yeah,
who knows? You can seek these things out from any area that you want to.
Yeah, so, I wouldn't advise anybody to take advice from
us. Well, that's a great hello coming from a song, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So what we're going to say here is, I'll say this. The first person out there listening this week, mm-hmm. They can email or message us on our social media with band and song name.
Ooh, I like it.
We'll get a Totally 80s and 90s Recall sticker.
Ooh, I like it.
This is very exclusive and highly sought after. Yeah. So you do not want to miss out on this.
That's
so
right.
Hit us up if you've got the first person who messages us, we'll work together with you and we'll get you a sticker.
Perfect.
So that sounds good?
I love it.
Sounds great. Yeah. With all that, Rob, do you have the energy to tell us the topic for this week's episode?
Yeah, so we are looking at weird or odd songs from the 80s.
Correct.
With a caveat.
Caveat.
Can't be Weird Al.
Cannot be Weird Al.
All right.
So yeah. Well, how do you feel about that caveat?
I was nervous going into it that I wouldn't have enough material without Weird Al.
And you found out that there was material.
Yeah, there's some weird songs.
I told you.
Yeah. And actually some songs that probably now would be considered alternative and they'd be sort of normal, but
probably
I was trying to think back in the 80s what would have sounded different, weird. And
so how did you come about your songs for the episode?
I looked at quite honestly, a lot of these are because 80s it was very visual, right?
Yes.
So I thought about a lot of videos that I thought were odd. So some of mine have kind of a visual component I remember being MTV, you know, heavy play on MTV.
Makes sense.
But also later in life, I remember having some compilation, like 80s compilations that had songs on there that I thought were really weird.
Oh.
That I don't ever remember hearing on the radio. And, you know, I think even in the 80s, they probably would have.
So you might be bringing us some interesting songs here.
Yeah. And then I found some that I don't ever remember hearing, but they were considered hits in the 80s that I thought were way weird. And so they might have made my cut.
Some of the top hits are strange, actually, if you listen to them, lyrics and all. Well, I'm sure there have always been funny and odd songs that hit the mainstream, but you maybe not as much because you said you found them on compilations, but I remember hearing a lot of these as a kid in the 80s and just thinking, that's an interesting sounding song. They're just a little different than the normal stuff on the radio, like your Madonnas and your Michael Jacksons. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be spoofs or stupid songs. They can be, but they don't have to be that. But they can also just be an 80s song that, again, had an odd singer. Maybe he sang it weird. The lyrics were weird. Yeah. The topic of the song just didn't make a lot of sense, but was still a good song. And people grabbed onto it and thought, hey, I'm going to listen to this. Did well on the radio. Could have been any of those.
I did enjoy, you know, looking up the song that I thought was weird and then finding the meaning behind it and going,
of course you did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it makes sense, but
I told my wife that. Weird. I said, he's going to like the research and finding out. He's going to go, oh, what? This song's got a weird title. And then he's going to go, oh, it's about a car crash and blah, blah, blah. And it's going to have some deep, deep meaning to
more
it.
More true than you
so
know.
I didn't look up any meanings of any songs. I just picked the ones that I'm like, that chorus is wacky. I'm going with that song. Or the sound is wacky. The song is wacky. And so I just go with it.
That's more true than you know.
So. More true than you know. Did you spend a lot of time on this list? The listeners want to know what effort you put into your research.
I did. Okay. Well, I had to move up our recording date, and so I had to
1 week threw them all off.
I know, so I was procrastinating. So I'll have some time, and I'll finish them up. So
you know who doesn't procrastinate?
No, yeah, no. So it forced me to finish them up. So I'm very proud of the. I think they'll turn out well.
They will turn out well.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how it goes. Yeah. Well, let's get back to our bars, temples, and massage parlors as we take a look at our favorite weird, odd, interesting songs of the 1980s. Now, before revealing our songs, I realize we've given the topic that they're interesting and odd, but I want to preface that most of my songs, at least, are all-time 80s greats, and I listened to all of them, but to me, they definitely had an interesting or odd theme, sound, or lyrics, as we've said. So before you yell out in your car or on the treadmill, I love that song, it's not weird, we completely understand, and in no way are we undervaluing these tracks? In fact, if we picked a song that is in no way weird, odd, or if you think we left one out, message us, let us know, and we'll correct ourselves on a future episode.
No, that's a good disclaimer. Yeah, because somebody's going to hear these and go, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's not a...
That's a great song.
I love that song. Yeah. It was my prom song.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be great. So.
Well, I don't think any of mine are going to be prom songs, but okay.
Well, as I look over at you, Rob, you're always dressed real neat from your hats to your feet. So let's go pole to pole and hear that number 10 if... We want to.
Okay. My number 10.
Yes. Take a picture so I can look at you from inside as well. He kept me turning up and turning down, turning in, turning back, turning
Japanese. Turning Japanese by the Vapor.
The Vapors. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Turning Japanese, I think I'm turning Japanese, I'm ready to make a song. How many crossovers do you think we'll have on this one? Turning Japanese, I think I'm turning Japanese, I'm ready to make a song. Ooh. That's a good song, by the way.
Yeah, good song. I'm going to go, I think we're going to have a few. I'm going to go four.
Oh, wow. Big.
Yeah. Yeah.
You might not be wrong, though, because, we could have some. Because when you look at the odd list, there were some standouts, right? And I didn't go too deep into any albums or anything. So, yeah, four. I'll agree with four. We'll see how we stand. Okay. We'll see how we stand on four. But back to the Vapors.
Okay, so this is, Turning Japanese by the Vapors, their English band. It was an international hit. I found a note that said it is one of the most misinterpreted songs of all times. The band's most, it's their most well-known.
Of course.
They thought that they would score a hit with it, so they delayed its release in order to make it their second single, hoping to avoid becoming a one-hit wonder.
Ah, how'd that work out for them?
I don't think they avoided that.
Yeah, they did not.
The Vapors did not chart again in the U.S. The song topped the Australian charts for 2 weeks, and it was a minor hit in Japan. A minor hit in Japan.
Yeah.
Turning Japanese.
Called Turning Japanese.
Did you know? Songwriter David Fenton said, Turning Japanese is all the cliches about about angst and youth and turning into something you didn't expect.
Correct.
Okay. So then he talks about about a guy pining over a photograph of his ex-girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. But then I found a bunch of articles that talked about turning Japanese was believed to be euphemistically referred to masturbation.
That is correct.
I.e. the act of causing the man to squint and therefore resemble a Japanese person's eyes.
Yes. That is this theory that I've always heard.
Referencing, I probably shouldn't even say the slang.
But
I'm
you
not
will.
Gonna say it.
Okay.
I'm not going to double down this time.
Double down. That's what we're here for.
No, it's a British slang that I don't think I should even say. And the act of referring to the process. Yeah. The song's author, Fenton, denies that claim.
I know. I've seen a lot of things that they say they don't care what he says. And he wrote the song. Maybe we'll go with his version. But it was always misinterpreted as, yes, about pleasuring one's self. So, which could be considered or not considered offensive if you're taking that stance.
Well, and I wouldn't have thought that. And then...
Really? You hadn't heard that before?
I had never heard that
phrase.
I've heard
that lots of times. Okay.
But yeah, the British slang phrase they use is like, oh, I could totally see that.
In fact, if you go on the internet, there's, you have the, you could Google that and then these songs come up. You got Shebop.
Oh, yeah.
You've got this.
Yeah.
There's multiples where they interpret it. I touch myself.
Yeah, never heard of that. I mean, I've never heard of that.
It always gets lumped in.
But now I can't not hear it. I hear the song and go, oh.
But it's a good song.
Yeah.
So, well, hard to follow up that number 10. So despite my band's weird and possibly disturbing name, my number 10 song rocks because it is She Drives Me Crazy by the Fine Young Cannibals.
Oh. They weird.
The weird for me is the singer's tone and his delivery. A lot of people don't sing like that. So you're like right here. You go. Yeah, so he's got his interesting delivery is what drives this here. So this song came out 26 December 1988, right after Christmas. What a gift. They are an English group that sent this song to number one on the U.S. Hot 100, U.S. Dance Club Songs, and U.S. Cashbox charts. It also hit number one in Australia, Austria, Canada, New Zealand, and Spain. So popular everywhere. It was also in the top 10 in 10 other countries. So people love Cannibals. I chose this one because great, catchy pop song, one of the favorite things of me. But the delivery of the lead singers we just talked about, pretty unique, therefore a little odd from other styles. Particularly in 1988, you really didn't hear anything like this. Joanne Green, a music critic not really familiar with, but apparently very famous, stated that the song features the most unique and instantly identifiable beat riff combo of the decade.
Wow.
So that seems bold. But that's her. Fun fact, the song was recorded in Studio B of Prince's recording studio in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
So he had to give a stamp of approval at some point.
Go, oh, yeah. Say,
you guys can use my equipment.
Maybe he liked the way that guy sounded.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's my number 10, The Fine Young Cannibals.
I like it. It's a good one.
It's good.
And they had a weird title. Or they had a weird band name. So that, that would have caused people to go,
It's a weird name. Cannibals is an interesting thing to settle on to put in your, but it doesn't have to mean eating people. You can cannibalize other things. Okay. There you go.
You can?
Yeah.
I guess how?
Yeah.
Like used that word used differently other than human, eating humans?
Say you were Enron and you had to get rid of all your paperwork.
Oh, that's good.
You could cannibalize all your records. Yep. That way no one could sentence you to years in federal prison.
All right. I get
it. As a thing.
You're smart.
<That's> something.
You're smart.
I don't know about that.
All right.
All right.
My number 9.
Number 9.
Is?
Really good.
One Night in Bangkok.
Yes. It's really good.
One Night in Bangkok and the world's your oyster.
Sounds good.
And then it's got like this rap.
Yes, I know.
Like,
I love it.
Yeah, the main part of the song. Yeah. There. It's
very like another great. When your head's down over your pieces, absolutely love this song.
Yeah. So weird.
It's fantastic.
So anyway.
I love every minute of it.
Yeah, this is, well done. Because he says that, doesn't he, in the song? Well done. this is by Murray Head. Peaked at number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1985. And I guess there was another version that came out around the same time by a Canadian singer and actress, Robbie, I think you say her name.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. And
I'm not familiar with Robbie.
I don't know. And her version spent 3 weeks on the Hot 100 and it peaked at 77.
No.
But what I found out, this is from a concept album and musical about chess. It was called Chess. And Murrayhead raps the verses, and then another guy, a Swedish guy, does the singer songwriting part.
The Swedes are good at pop songs.
Well, that's right.
They are.
The release topped the charts in many countries, including South Africa, the Netherlands, West Germany, Switzerland, Denmark, mm-hmm. and Australia. It peaked at number 3 in both Canada and the U.S. Lyrics describe the Thai capital city and its nightlife. An American chess grandmaster, a character known as Frederick Freddy Trumper.
Ooh.
The American's verses ridicule the city, describing its attractions as less interesting to him than a game of chess. These sarcastic comments caused it to be banned in Thailand because it caused misunderstanding about Thai society and showed disrespect towards Buddhism.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so yeah, it's basically a song from a musical about chess.
That's great.
So there you go.
All right. Well, that's a great song. So.
Yeah, I like it.
I can't. Your first two have been really good.
Yeah.
So
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Getting that nod from you is.
It's like a stamp of approval.
It is.
Gold seal. So, well, so that was your number 9?
That is my number 9.
All right. Well, Salieri may have murdered Mozart, but even in death, my number 9 is a masterpiece. It is by a guy named Falco.
Oh.
Rock Me Amadeus. In the German version.
Oh, you did the German version.
Now,
did you do the?
His version is part German, part English. So he's it's a combo song. I like combo songs. Kind of like Gerardo, Rico Suave.
That's a hard G.
Hard G.
It's supposed to be a soft
G. Hey,
yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Good job.
I could do it once in a while. So, like, yes.
You rolled the R's.
So Falco is an Austrian musician.
Not on my list, by the way.
Oh, good. There we go.
So we're good.
We're good there. Was Fine Young Cannibals on your list?
It wasn't.
Oh, okay.
So we're good.
Good there, too.
Yep.
Again, Austrian musician. Song was released in 1985. It is the only German language song to go number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. How about that? It was also number one in, shockingly, Austria, Canada, Ireland, New Zealand, South Africa, Spain, Sweden, the U.K., and guess the last one.
Canada.
West Germany.
Damn it.
I'd already said Canada, so you're listening.
No, I wasn't listening.
Your listening skills are on par today. This is a classic, pretty cool 80s song, but it doesn't change the fact that it sounds odd. The way he sings it and mixing the German language is not a soft language, so it's very abrupt inside the song. All of it makes it very original. Fun fact, there was never a complete English version, but a version with English that cut down on some German lyrics because originally it was all German. Mm-hmm. And to play it on MTV and get it on the radio over here, they wanted something people could recognize. So they made a compromise and went with the Rock Me Amadeus part.
Love it.
So
I took 2 years of German in high school, and I remember the
Frau Cherry.
The textbook that we used had, I can remember there's a part of the book that had.
Was it Falco?
Well, it had like a collage picture of different German people and celebrities. Nice. And there was David Hasselhoff.
Perfect.
And I remember the word on the page was like discotheque.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And then it had Falco.
Falco.
He was on he was one of the people.
Hasselhoff, Falco.
And Falco.
Probably should have had the Scorpions in there, right?
Yeah, I don't think they
wanted it. Didn't happen.
That might have been before.
I don't think that was before. Perfect. Scorpions came out in the 80s. You were taking German in the 90s. So, all right. Well, both, I think that's four bangers so far, maybe.
Bangers. Actually, that
odd songs, phrase but comes four bangers. Up,
I think.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. This is my number 8.
This is your number 8.
All right. My number 8 is.
Ah, yes. This is definitely an interesting song.
Yeah.
I don't have this.
Good. All around me feeling hot, hot, hot. Such a weird song. What to do? Or are you going to say?
No, I'm thinking. I haven't said anything yet. I'm going to wait for your information because I don't want to sound dumb because I might be wrong.
No. So this is Hot, Hot, Hot by Buster Poindexter.
Buster Poindexter.
I always thought it was just Buster Poindexter.
You know who that guy is? You going to get there?
Yeah.
All right. I'll let you get
there. Let's see if you know
who. I won't spoil it.
Buster Poindexter and his Banshees of Blue.
Yes.
That was the name of his band. I didn't know he had. I thought it was just Buster Poindexter.
Yeah. No, he's got
it. But this actually was written in 1982, by a musician called Arrow. He's Montserratian.
Perfect.
Where would that be from? Montserrat?
I don't know.
Anyway, the song was later covered in 1987 by David Johansen as his lounge singer persona, Buster Poindexter, and released as the first single from his album, Buster Poindexter. His version peaked at 45 on the Billboard Hot 100. It had garnered extensive airplay through radio, MTV, and other television appearances. In an interview on National Public Radio, Johansson called the tune the bane of my existence, owing to its pervasive popularity as a karaoke and wedding song.
We've talked about this before. Stop being appalled by the song that makes you famous.
That's like,
it's ridiculous.
A little trivia for you. David Johansson is an American singer, songwriter, and actor.
Yes.
In addition to playing the Ghost of Christmas Past in 1988.
That's where I was going with it.
In 1988's classic Christmas classic, Scrooged,
yes.
David Johansson is best known for his work as a member of what seminal proto-punk band? A, Doctors of Madness, B, the New York Dolls, C, the Hollywood Brats, or D, the Strangers?
I think it's the New York Dolls. Perfect.
Nice job, yeah.
I thought I read that one.
He was the lead singer of the New York Dolls.
Yeah, sounds like a band he'd be in.
Yeah.
He had a unique face.
Yeah, so I thought that was just an odd song, because I think the 80s had a lot of these like character songs, like people that took on a persona, or they were somebody else.
That is true.
Or actors trying to be
actors loved
performers, you know.
Yes,
so
they did.
And so I thought that was kind of fit.
Well, good one. Not one I have either.
Hey.
So
maybe we won't.
I couldn't listen to that song a lot, but I understand it. So well, gratuitous school reference here, because I know how much you love that. Grab your beakers, don't forget your goggles, because my number 8 song can be hazardous.
Oh.
It is, of course, She Blinded Me with Science by Thomas Dolby.
Also not on my list.
A good one. And strange for sure. I mean, what kind of topic for this song is this in the beginning?
Was this in the movie?
What movie? I don't think so.
Or Weird Science.
It's not. I don't remember it in Weird
Science.
They
weren't?
No? I'll have to double check. I know Weird Science pretty well. I don't remember that song in there, but I will double check on that.
So they're not connected?
I don't think so.
Okay. I think maybe I just always assumed that they were connected.
Well, here's another song that has a wacky video. You were talking about videos earlier. Mm-hmm. This definitely has an interesting video. So if you haven't seen it, as I always advise, hit up the old YouTube and check it out, because there's some stuff going on in there. This was released in October 82 and would eventually hit number 5 on the Billboard Hot 100 in the U.S., go to number 1 in Canada, and number 7 in New Zealand. The song features voiceovers from a British scientist, and it ranked number 13 on VH1's Greatest One-Hit Wonders of the 1980s. Odd for me, the voiceover shouts about science, which again, I don't even know why it's the topic of the song. And I'm not even sure why blinding someone with silence, why is that even an analogy for love? I'm not sure how those tie together. Or is it just a song about science? You're an educator. Maybe it's just about science. And when you talk about the blinded me, maybe they weren't wearing their protective equipment and the reaction in the potions causes the, remember on Saved by the Bell when he made the zit cream? That was in science. No one got blinded.
I very clearly remember that.
No one got blinded, but they got cream burned.
Yeah, how does one blind one with science?
I guess if you're so... Neil deGrasse Tyson. women love that guy. He blinds them all the time. He's the smartest man on earth.
So she was smart.
Sure.
She blinded him with her...
She blinded me with science.
With her brain.
I guess just her makeup and everything, like her... The way she's... projecting herself scientifically just captured this person.
Mm.
I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. But it's a weird song.
I know. Well, welcome to the 80s.
Welcome to the 80s.
We
can be blinded by science.
Just make up random things. And
that's right.
We have a hit.
Have a hit. Thomas Dolby.
All right.
There you go.
That's a good one. Not on my list.
Nope.
All right. My number 7. Is it 7. A song? Or are we on 7?
We are.
Oh, yeah. My number 7. I'm just going to play it because I want to know.
Always. Yes. This is the Pasti Dachi.
I think I've heard this like a wedding.
Or it's on the wedding singer. He's in that movie.
Yeah.
I heard it in the 80s. I mean, it's very clear what that song's about.
What is it about?
Maybe it's not clear.
No, I want to know.
Well, I'll hear your instructions first. I'm sure you'll cover that. You're very extensive with your research.
All right. So this is 1982. Right. British Jamaican band Musical Youth.
Nice.
Is the name of the band. Reached number 1 on the UK singles chart and at least 5 other countries. In February of 1983, it reached number 10 over here in the US. It sold over 5 million copies. The track combined 2 songs, of which one was Pass the Coochie.
Yes. Ooh.
by a group called Mighty Diamonds.
Gotcha.
Which deals with the recreational use of cannabis. Coochie being a slang for cannabis pipe. For the cover version, the song's title was censored to pass the Duchy.
The Duchy, yes.
The new word being a French term for a Dutch oven or a type of cooking pot.
No.
All obvious drug references were removed from the lyrics. For example, instead of the original, how does it feel when you get no herb?
Nice.
The cover version refers to food instead. Oh. The song was commissioned by the record company to turn Pass the Coochie into a radio-friendly hit for a wider audience. Pass the Coochie remains their only hit.
Did
in the
you
US.
Say wider or whiter?
I said wider.
Wide.
I
oh,
want
okay.
no
My
part
bad.
Of that. Yeah.
Well, so, that's why I was clarifying.
Little trivia for you. In 2022, the song experienced a resurgence of popularity, you said on The Wedding Singer, but and re-entered a number of international charts after the song was featured in what popular Netflix series?
Ooh, we'll go with Stranger Things. There you go.
Nice job.
Anything 80s related in the last few years, Stranger Things brought back to life.
And actually, people when this song, my son and I were driving over for a Seahawks game the other night. And
that was last night.
Last night.
Yes.
And the song, I was playing this list to listen to it on my way over. And the song came on. And he goes, oh, this is on Stranger Things.
Oh, so yeah, he knows.
He knew.
Got it memorized.
Yep.
I'm going to say something that might upset the masses. I've not watched. I watched like two episodes of it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And I found the first two episodes not exciting enough to bring me back for a third episode. Yeah. So, and then I caught my kids watching a little bit of it, and all I saw was some lifeguard dude trying to smash moms off screen or away from the pool.
Yeah.
And again, it just didn't pique my interest.
Yeah.
So, but maybe I should give another shot because everybody says it's so amazing.
That's pretty good.
I almost don't watch these shows where people like, oh, you got to watch it. Like they'll corner you at work. Oh, you haven't seen. Oh my God, you haven't seen Stranger Things. You gotta watch.
That's my MO. Just to be obstinate. Because
why you still haven't watched that Netflix thing on Swedish pop makers?
Haven't watched it.
I've told you 100 times
because you say it's so great.
I know.
So I'm like whatever.
All right. Well, solid song.
Pass the Duchy.
My number seven goes in a different direction. It is by a group called the Talking Heads. It's Once in a Lifetime.
You may find yourself in a beautiful house.
No, they're great. It's just odd. It's just a strange song.
I mean, they are on my cutting room.
I mean, David Byrne's a strange guy. This is a great song. I just think it's strange. His delivery.
And this is one of those ones that's visual for me. The video, he was
doing the
and he's all sweaty.
Doesn't he go like that?
Yes.
Yeah, he goes like that on here.
Yeah.
So.
And he's super sweaty. He gets sweatier as the thing goes on. And
sweaty guy. So this was released in November of 1980, just crept into the decade. Actually never cracked the Billboard Hot 100 in the U.S., stalling at 103. Couldn't quite get in. It was, however, a top 20 hit in the U.K., Ireland, and New Zealand. So obviously they were a little more on board with this than the Americans in 1980. They weren't ready for it. That's the problem. So what makes it odd, particularly for 1980, is probably the way he sings. I think it's very unique. It's constructed oddly. He's asking a bunch of questions, so I guess he wants some audience participation. It's kind of half speaking, half singing. Overall, cool song, but definitely different and weird when I was younger. I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, well, what is going on here? It's a very strange song.
Yep. So, yeah, this was on my list at one point. I took it off for one that I felt was better. But for that reason, I remember, I just got done watching the video again. I remember, I remember this being on MTV and it being weird.
It was strange.
All these different.
He wore big suits.
Yes, and a little version of himself, and it was repeated on the screen, and he was doing the weird dance. And
just a weird guy.
Yeah.
But like you said, I think maybe if he comes out later, not 1980, that goes in the top 100.
Oh,
more alternative, things like that. Yeah. But 1980 was really early. You're coming off disco, and then you've got punk rock, which people like Sex Pistols, things like that. Yeah. So maybe he was just a little ahead of his time.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Good one. I like that one. I like them a lot. Sweet. There's one. Yeah, I like them. I've listened to them a lot. All right. My number, what are we at? Number six.
Number six.
And we're no crossovers yet.
No.
This is awesome.
We're rolling along.
Now watch our last five.
We always do that.
Bam, bam,
you've
bam.
Done that before and you've cursed us. And then it's like we go every other and just, I got that one too.
All right. My number five is.
Little
Tarzan.
It is Tarzan.
Is your number six? This is my number six.
Well, we'll just break the seal. This is my number 5.
Shut up.
Yeah. So I'm one ahead, but it's still Tarzan, but it's your next. So we'll just play this, and that way you only have to listen to it once.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to hear Tarzan more than once.
No, it's good. So this is Tarzan Boy by a group called Baltimora.
Baltimora.
I believe I'm saying that correctly.
Yes.
It was an Italian music project from Milan, and they were active from 84 to 87. It was released in 85. It was, let's see, often considered a one-hit wonder. Yeah. It was an international hit, had success in the United States with the single remaining on the Billboard Hot 100 for 6 months and ultimately peaking at number 13. The lead singer, Jimmy McShane, I read.
Ooh.
He'd come out as gay. He came out of his family at a very young age, and the family had a hard time accepting that he was gay. Jimmy moved from Ireland to London to study acting. And to many, this song, Tarzan Boy, is about coming out as gay and the difficulty at the time of finding other people in the urban jungles of the world.
Well, I did not have any of that.
So that's very,
your explanation is so much more in-depth than mine.
And then sadly, he was diagnosed with AIDS in 1994.
Oh.
And he died of, he died in 95.
Here's
at the
what
age
I,
of 37.
Here's what I wrote, now that I sound like a moron and you had all that great facts. I put, the song uses the Tarzan cry, talks about jungle life, playing hide and seek, and a lot of things referencing monkey business.
Yes.
So nonsense lyrics. That's what I put.
And I did read. I read.
But that, now you've said it's an analogy and possibly ties to something else. To me, I just thought somebody watched or read the book and was like, sounds like a good song. Let's do that.
Well, no, I read that some of those phrases in that song are common British euphemisms for,
there
like,
you go,
like sexually messing around. So monkey business. And there was a few other ones they use in there that
I gotcha.
And then once you listen to it, you go, oh, I guess I could tell. But they're British slangs, I guess. So
I just thought it was a silly song.
Yeah. Sure. So a little trivia for you. In addition to being featured in the movie Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
Oh, great one.
Beverly Hills Ninja. Stranger Things. Funny, Stranger we just got talking about that. Tarzan Boy was re-released in 1993 after it was featured in a commercial for what common oral hygiene product? A, Colgate toothpaste. B, Crest dental whitening strips. C, Listerine mouthwash. Or D, Oral-B electric toothbrush.
I'll go with Listerine. Oh, my goodness.
Nice job. You're on fire.
Threw that dart.
The commercial featured the jungle chorus of the song under an animated bottle of Listerine swinging from vines. This time it hit number 51 in the U.S.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Did you have, I didn't hear it, but you may have said it. It went to number one in Belgium, Finland.
I didn't list any of the, I just said it was an international hit.
Okay. So, yeah. The Netherlands and Spain. And guess where else it was number one? France.
I was going to say Canada.
You know how hard it is to go number one in France? Getting in the top 50 in France as an American pop song is fantastic.
They're very finicky listeners.
Strict on what they listen to. So that was my number 5, your number 6.
Yes.
So then my number 6, we're going 2 for 2 here on back to on crossovers, because this was your number 10, and I put, we're going to take a little trip across the Pacific Ocean, because just like you did earlier, I'm going to turn Japanese. I mean, it seemed like an obvious one when I was looking at the list anyway, but catchy little pop song.
Okay, that part, I want to have a doctor take a picture of you so I can look at you, look at your insides as well, or look at you from the inside. I don't remember.
I guess it's something like that.
Yeah, no.
So, song went number one in Australia. I don't think you said that. Everything else you had about whether it's about pleasuring oneself or not, I had. I did see a quote that in 2023, it's not always well received as it was in the 1980s.
I can't imagine why.
And somebody doesn't like it, right? Sure. White guys singing about turning Japanese. They probably misinterpreted it or something. I don't know.
See, that's what it said. Often the most misinterpreted songs.
Yeah. They do some crazy, fun, weird dancing in the video, if that helps you.
I didn't watch the video.
Oh.
I just listened to some.
Good research.
Hey.
I watched the video for all these songs so that I had some reference to
them. But now that I know what that's about, I don't know why people would be offended.
Yeah. But so that was my 6.
Wow. Okay,
your 6 was Tarzan.
Okay.
So that means you get to do your number 5 and your number 4 because I've already done my number 5.
Okay.
Because we both had Tarzan Boy.
Okay.
At 6 and 5.
Yeah, I think we're going to start hitting some crossovers here. So
here's your number 5.
My number 5 is...
Wow.
I want to be a cowboy.
Interesting. I don't have this anymore.
You don't have this?
Nope. No crossover here.
I want to be a cow. I want to be a cowboy.
I know what it is.
My boys don't cry.
Interesting. What? This feels like the song Buffalo Bill was to Silence of the Lambs while he was like getting dressed in his
ladies. Oh, absolutely. Suit.
Yeah. Putting his makeup on. Not the song.
Or when Officer Starling going in the house all dark. This could be blaring.
This could be blaring.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
This is a good, psychological torture song.
It's got a Buffalo Bill song.
Oh, yeah. So weird.
So weird.
Yeah, I don't
know. It's interesting.
Yeah, so this is British pop rock group Boys Don't Cry. It was released in 1985. It was the band's only hit. Peaked at number 12 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. It stayed
trend,
on
by the way, in the 80s, and with a lot of these bands were hitting here.
What's that? Oh yeah, one
the
hit.
Trend is where it's just this is what you get.
It's too weird.
Yep.
It stayed on the Hot 100 for a total of 19 weeks. The lead singer, he spent Saturday night watching Clint Eastwood cowboy films such as For a Few Dollars More, and the band had reserved the studio for the next day. So then he had this saying, I want to be a cowboy and you can be my cowgirl. It was stuck in his head. So
they had to sing it.
So they wrote the entire song that Sunday in about an hour, recorded it, and spent 3 hours mixing it.
Best songs are written in an hour.
He said the song was meant to be a joke and to make people laugh, but also thought it would make a great dance track, and that turned out to be true. Video jockey Martha Quinn from MTV told Richards that the channel hated the video as it wasn't rock and roll.
Nope.
But since it had become a top 40 hit by that point, they had to air the video.
Had to play it.
I found a comment, I think it might have been on YouTube for the video. I was watching the video. I did watch the video.
No, one. Finally.
It said, "Ah, wander back with me, children, to a time when all one needed was a beat and nothing else in order to make a hit and get on the radio. I give you the 80s.
No. So, yeah.
A little trivia for the song was an airplay hit around Oklahoma City, where what Big 12 college is located? A, Oklahoma State University, the University of Oklahoma, East Central University, or Cameron University?
What was the question?
The song was an airplay hit around Oklahoma City, where what Big 12 college is located?
Oklahoma State.
There you go.
Yeah, because Oklahoma's in Norman.
And the Oklahoma State University football team is named the Cowboys.
For our friends of the show on Generation Rewind, Sean and Eric from Oklahoma. See, I knew where where the universities were. So there you guys
knew
go.
The town, Norman?
Norman, that's where the University of Oklahoma is at.
Look at you.
Yeah. I ate in a Jason's Deli in Norman, Oklahoma when we drove from Texas to Idaho.
You're a cultured man.
Yeah, Jason's Deli makes you very cultured.
Wow.
Those from Texas and the East regions, they know about the Jason's Deli. So it does make you very cultured. They have big baked potatoes.
Wow.
In case you know. By the way, just referencing back to the song you were talking about. I care for Martha Quinn a great deal. So that's a good reference. I like that.
Yeah. That's a name I hadn't heard for a long time.
She was nice.
Think about those MTV jockeys, where they went.
Probably my favorite VJ.
Kurt
Loder. He was news, not a VJ.
Oh, he was the news guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was already 73 when MTV started.
I know, he's gotta be like 109 now or something.
Yeah. Anyway. So like I said, you get to go back to back because I already did my number five.
Wow.
So you gotta do your number four.
I gotta do some
Gosh, I've got you all over the place.
So my next one is, let me deal it up here.
The number four.
This is my number four?
It is your number four. Nice. Radio. This is weird again, right?
Way weird.
This is also my number four.
So you're lying.
I'm looking at my list right in front of me.
Your number four is my
number four says Mexican Radio by Wall of Voodoo. Does that check out? Yeah, Wall of Voodoo. Something. We do. So that means we said four at the beginning. So we've had Tarzan Boy,
Mexican Radio,
Turning Japanese, and Mexican Radio.
Ooh,
so it's three.
I think we're gonna pass it.
We're hanging on by a thread.
There's too many good ones left.
Well, I'll give my stats this time first, because anything you say is gonna make mine sound silly.
Well, that's
because
not true.
You like grab an encyclopedia. Or at least go online now to an encyclopedia, because I don't know anybody that would actually look at an encyclopedia. But so I've got, and you can fact check me here, I've got released in September of 1982, only reached number 58 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. Song was inspired by car trips where the lead singer and guitarist would listen to Mexican radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
One of the lyrics is, I wish I was in Tijuana eating barbecued iguana. So that's, but he spent a lot of time writing that one. Little sample of what the song's all about, in case you're curious. The song has gotten a new life on TikTok as they use the I'm on a Mexican Radio remix to show like a transition or something funny. So
my son said that. Yeah. Also on the trip to the Seahawks game, the song came on and he goes, oh, they use this on TikTok.
Quite a bit. It became a trend for a while where you, and they actually took in a remix that was like some, a house beat or something like that. So it changes up the lyrics. But I did read somewhere that some people stopped using it as a trend or a transition because either the lead singer or one of the band members had some issues or some legal troubles later that was disturbing or something like that.
Okay. So,
anyway, I didn't research all that.
No, part, that's so. Really good. Everything that you said is what I said, but it's been described as, here's some descriptions. It says, a mildly warped tune with irresistibly catchy melody lines, intriguingly quirky single. It's a pretty unconventional pop song, but it's extremely catchy. Such a wonderfully weird song and one of the most compelling, memorable songs, sing-alongs ever.
It is definitely weird.
Yeah.
It is a weird song.
It's considered a one-hit wonder. We talked about that.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, you'll be proud of this.
Yes.
Frontman Stan Ridgway has said, quote, the one-hit wonder status of Mexican radio is not something to be ashamed of.
Absolutely not.
There you go. Obviously, it's not all the band was about, and it's possibly the light from it blinded some people from hearing other things the band did.
Did it blind them from science?
But it exposed a lot of people to our music who probably wouldn't have heard it, and those maybe because of it. After Wall of Voodoo, I was lucky enough to continue to write songs and make music. If there wasn't a Mexican radio, you probably wouldn't be talking to me now.
Those both came out in 1982, so they could have been blinded by science. See?
Blinded by science.
Poor Wall of Voodoo.
Let's see, trivia. The band's lyrics have been described as a cinematic narrative heavily influenced by Westerns, including what subgenre of Western films produced in Europe that emerged in the mid-1960s in the wake of Sergio Leone's filmmaking style and international box office success with films like A Fistful of Dollars for a Few Dollars More and
Spaghetti
the
Western.
Good job. The term Spaghetti Western was used by foreign critics because most of these Westerns were produced and directed by Italians.
I know stuff too.
All right. I told you, you're a cultured Western. Man.
Something.
Yeah, look at that.
So we both had the same number, 4.
Oh, wow.
Woo. Now you got number 3. Let's see if we can do it again.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe our list just matched.
You want me to do my number 3?
Yeah, you're up.
All right. My number 3. Here we go. Trying to find my...
We just matched the rest of the way out. Right. Here's wouldn't the rest of the songs. They're all the same.
Okay.
In Vietnam, he was 19. I do not have this. We did not cross over.
Oh, okay, good.
Very synthesizer heavy, heavy song.
This is a song called 19 by Paul Hardcastle. And this is one that I remember was on a compilation.
Very, it kind of sounds like a... Have you seen Revenge of the Nerds before I make a reference?
Yeah. They're kinda, at the end.
It's very similar to that song they play at the end with their band.
Yeah.
Do, do, do,
oh,
do,
yeah,
do,
yeah.
Do, do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Similar kind of synth vibe.
Yes, so this is British musician Paul Hardcastle. Came out in 1985. The song was a strong anti-war message, focusing on the United States' involvement in the Vietnam War and its effect on the soldiers who served. It was notable for early use of sampled and processed speech, in particular a synthesized stutter effect used on the words 19 and destruction. It had various non-speech, dubbing sampling for crowd noise, military bugle. It won. It was on number 73 on VH1's 100 Greatest One-Hit Wonders.
Oh, wow.
It received an award in the UK. It's called the Ivor Novello Award for the best-selling single of 1985 in the UK.
Wow.
Although the song hardly reached number 15, Hardcastle has been quoted as saying it outsold everybody else for 3 weeks solid. It only reached number 15 because back then the chart was based on airplay as well as sales, so it didn't get a lot of airplay. The title is based on the age of the soldier. American combat soldier in the war, the average age was 19. That has since been disputed. It's probably closer to 23. It was held back because people thought it was kind of a lot of radios didn't play it because it was caused a lot of controversy, right?
Controversy.
The song's reliance on sampling also caused problems with legal clearance. Ken Grunbaum recalled in 2012 that there was no precedence for something like this. There hadn't been a song that used so much sampling.
No.
Which leads me into my trivia here.
Oh, my goodness.
19 features sampled narration voiced by Peter Thomas, an American announcer and narrator of television programs with a career spanning more than 70 years, including shows such as Nova and What? Television documentary program that reveals how forensic science is used to solve violent crimes, mysterious accidents, and outbreaks of illness. Was it Nova, CSI Miami, Cold Case Files, or Forensic Files?
I don't know any of those shows. Well, I mean, I know what CSI is, but I'll go with the Cold Case Files.
Oh,
my goodness.
It's actually Forensic Files. Yeah, the show was originally broadcast on TLC. It broadcast 406 episodes from its debut in 1996 until its final episode in 2011, the song's creators ended up having to pay royalties to the narrator, Peter Thomas.
I don't watch those shows, but I mean, I've heard of CSI because there's like 30 of them.
We used to watch all the time. My son would come out and go, oh, we're watching Forensic Files.
Perfect.
So we call it Forensic Files to this day.
It's about the same. It doesn't matter. So
anyway.
Well, good one. My number three is not the same as that.
Nice.
Is it a crossover though? It is not.
Oh.
It is a song that has not been played. I'm not saying we'll cross over later, but it is one you have not played yet, or if you don't have. It is Our House by Madness.
What?
I think it's that. Yeah, I couldn't hit the play button.
Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing upstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep.
I do know the song,
but I'm trying to I'd be curious to know why it was weird.
They're singing about their house.
I remember the video being weird.
Yeah, the video's weird. What are we singing about here? He starts talking about his mom's doing, his sister's doing. Literally, he walked around the house and wrote a song. I mean,
and that's basically the video. Him walking around the house.
Well, interesting lyrics. I've always thought they literally, as I just said, singing about their house in the middle of the street. Like, and when they were interviewed, they said, "Yeah, it's about our house." Like, this. There's no analogy. There's nothing bigger meaning.
No deeper meaning.
It's just about their house. Released 12 November 1982. A lot of these songs released early 80s, by the way. Going to number 7 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, number 1 in Sweden and Canada, top 10 in 5 other countries. I like this lyric. The kids are playing up downstairs. Grammatically wrong, but I still like it. I'm not even sure. Maybe that's an English way of saying something. But I don't know what playing up downstairs means.
So, I think I always sung it that way, but I assumed I was singing it wrong.
You were singing it absolutely correctly.
Oh, wow.
So the kids are playing up downstairs.
Playing, they're not picking up downstairs.
Nope, playing up downstairs. So I don't know if it's a play on words. I don't know exactly what's going on.
Maybe there is a deeper meaning.
I couldn't find it anywhere. I did some good internet research on this. I was out on the Reddit. I was everywhere. And I've just couldn't got that the lead singer was like, yeah, it's about my house when I was a kid in the street.
Yeah, there were a couple of songs on here that I Googled. I was on different. I could not, couldn't find anything.
So, Our House.
All right.
All right.
We're at number 2.
We are at number 2.
Wow. Okay. My number 2.
My number 2.
I eat cannibal.
Wow.
Twice on the list. We have cannibal. Something about cannibal.
Something. So edible,
I will honestly tell you. Until this moment of my life, I have never heard this song. And it's hard for me not to have heard an 80s song.
It's incredible.
No idea.
You bring out the animal.
I can't bring much to the table on this one.
I eat cannibals.
I've just never heard it.
What can you do?
Very weird anyway. It definitely meets the criteria.
So this is another one that I remember was on a compilation of 80s songs. And I just remember, I've never heard that before in my life.
Was that on the radio?
I just don't remember
hearing it.
It peaked at number 66.
Oh.
So it had some movement.
Yeah.
It's by a group called, and I'm going to butcher the name. I probably should have researched how to say it, but it's Toto Coelho.
That's absolutely right.
It was renamed Total Coelho in the U.S. It was a 1980s British new wave group originally formed in 1981. This song came out in 82. Early 80s, there you go. That
kind of
sticks with it.
A lot of these songs.
Peaked at number 66 in April of 83. The lyrics are not actually about actual cannibalism. Go figure.
Oh, shocking.
In fact, the song is a metaphor for consumerism and materialism in modern society. The band was inspired by the book Culture and Society by Raymond Williams. The book talks about how consumer culture turns people into commodities and they begin to consume each other. this is what the song is really about, and it's a commentary on the society we live in.
I told you cannibalism didn't have to be about eating people. I told you that earlier.
So a little trivia for you. Toto Coelho, the group's name is Latin.
Ooh.
Of the name Toto Coelho, group member Sheen Doran said it has a number of meanings such as A, fate, B, stability, C, completeness, or D, discovery.
I don't know any Latin, so I can't see. I don't know. Look at that.
Look at you.
Again, dart in the dark. What's going to happen here?
The group's name is Latin and means by the whole extent of the heavens or heaven wide, but is commonly translated as completely, entirely, or utterly. Of the group's name, Sheen Doran said it has a number of meanings, heart and soul, root and branch, and totally different. It seemed to describe what we were. Plus, it's strange sounding and hard to pronounce, so it sticks in your mind. The group was renamed Toto Coelho in the United States to avoid confusion with the American rock group Toto.
Perfect. Yeah, you don't want to infringe on Toto. They're too good.
All right.
So, well, my number two.
Your number two.
Is our fourth crossover. So we've hit our number. It's a fantastic song. You just had it dangerously too low. And that is Murray Head with One Night in Bangkok. No ordinary venue. I love this song.
Or the Philippines. Or Hastings.
And I love the thing he's randomly rambling off.
One night in Bangkok in the world's yard.
It's definitely strange. I do like the synthesizer.
You'll find a god in every golden oyster. And if you're lucky, then the god's a she.
Something. All right.
If you're lucky, the god's a she?
Maybe. No, I'm going to guess that's a misheard lyric. We'll check that later.
I don't know.
I don't know that I have more to say about it than you do. You said when it was released, I've got hit number three in the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. I think you said that, right? I got number one in Australia, Belgium, Canada, Finland, the Netherlands, South Africa, Spain, Switzerland, West Germany. So number one in a lot of countries. Seven other countries as a top 10 hit. So all I'll leave with here is my favorite lyric because I like to examine the lyrics. This is my favorite lyric because it's silly, but it's funny. And the way he delivers it is awesome. Says, I get my kicks above the waistline, sunshine. So I like that one. And great band name, Murray Head. I don't know what it means.
Murray Head.
I don't even know why he landed on that. I'd love to be in that creative process again.
I guess.
To be like, let's do that. But get my kicks above the waistline, sunshine. Right. I like that one.
That's a good way to end it. So that's your number two.
Two. So
we have four crossovers in the top.
Four crossovers in our top nine
picks.
And we still got four more songs to go.
All right.
So that takes us 10 through 2.
Okay.
So before we reveal our number ones, Rob, what do you want to do?
Let's go to
the cut line.
It's very violent.
It always
gets me every time.
But it's perfect. As we put our list together, we always talk about this. We haven't found it. Look, it's tough. We like a lot of songs, so we pick 10 songs. And there's always a few we want to keep on the list as well. So for this segment, we're going to identify two of those songs that fell just outside the top 10. And we will also identify an honorable mention. This is a song we either didn't hear the first time around, or we maybe heard it, forgot about it, and then we listened to it later as we've gotten older and wiser, and we find it to be a great song or a song that we really like much more now. And maybe we didn't appreciate it enough in its time.
True.
And you could say that about a bunch of these songs.
Oh, absolutely.
Some of them I appreciated just fine, but some of these you can say that about. So, but Rob, give us your first cut.
All right, my first cut is a very popular one, but it is...
Ooh, I like populars. Ah, yes. I was almost shocked this wasn't in the top 10. I thought for sure you'd have it. I kicked it around on my list a couple times.
Not on your list?
No way.
Okay.
Didn't have it. Correct. I will be honest that I... It is a weird song. And yeah. I had it on there because it's strange. But I almost felt guaranteed you would have it.
Yeah.
So I was trying to avoid us doubling there.
I will say that is a problem that is, I'm starting to run. Well, I think it's good. It creates a...
Well, no.
Because I do create my list going, I do the same thing.
I don't do it all the time.
David's going to pick that song.
I don't do it all the time. I assumed some of these turning Japanese others were going to land.
Yeah.
And we were probably going to have them the same. But I also think it shows where we were thinking.
Yeah.
We're 2 years apart, so sometimes there's a canyon of difference on some of the songs, because I play songs and I watch your scowl. you don't have the affinity for Chicago and things that I do. And I don't have the affinity for some of the late 90s R&B artists and bluesy type stuff that you do. Yeah. So, but in these areas, sometimes we cross over and it shows maybe we were kind of listening to the same things.
Yeah.
So I don't think it hurts.
All right.
And with all that, why don't you give us a rundown on old Devo?
Devo. Okay, so this is an American rock band Devo. Considered a new wave and synth pop song, the apparently nonsensical lyrics have a common theme revolving around the ability to deal with one's problems by whipping it.
Yeah, might as well.
When things happen, you got to whip it.
I don't know if that's your best answer, but okay.
I don't know. It was not expected to be a hit. It peaked at night.
Would you be arrested if I just walk around whipping people in public? I don't know.
You got to whip it.
Yeah.
It peaked at number 14. The song remains their only song to chart within the top 40 on the Billboard Hot 100. As a result, some journalists have labeled Devo as a one-hit wonder. I think that could be argued. I think they have
a pretty
big following.
Yeah.
The lead singer believes the song sold well because some people assume the lyrics were about masturbation and sadomasochism.
That is correct.
The music video featured members of the band whipping clothing from a woman on a dude ranch.
I like dude ranches.
The video became popular on the fledgling television channel MTV. It has been described as a cornerstone of the development of new wave music in the early 1980s, a defining anthem of the new wave's rise. There's been nothing quite like it in the top 40 before or since. One person said, it's hard to find anyone between the ages of 30 and 50 who does not have a vivid recollection of Whip It, the kind of unusual track that made listeners want to bop their heads and break into a herky-jerky dance.
Herky-jerky.
Devo members have never tried to distance themselves from Whip It. They play it live this day. A member of the band... Oh, I really like this quote. A member of the band has said, I'm glad it was Whip It because it was certainly twisted and original. It came from a pure, creative, open collaboration, and that's, to me, when all the best stuff comes. I really like that. I'm
going to
keep that quote in the creative process. I like it.
Keep it.
A little trivia for you. Following the success of Whip It, Devo joined what popular 80s music group as the face of the emergent American new wave music movement? Was it Oingo Boingo, Talking Heads, the B-52s, or Information Society?
Information Society.
Up to this point, it's actually the B-52s.
Weird.
Up to this point in the music history, the majority of new wave music in the early 1980s was being produced in the UK.
In the UK, second
the
British wave.
The B-52s and Devo were kind of leading the charge here in the US.
Lead that charge. Good one. Didn't have it. My first cut comes from a band called After the Fire.
What?
It is Der Kommissar. There's a lot going on in this song.
Yeah.
Great song. There's a lot going on. If you listen to some of the musical.
This is a foreign one, too.
Oh,
yeah.
I'll get to that here in a second. But just the sound, the music, the way that they employ the synthesizer. So, this is Der Kommissar, as I said, by After the Fire. Song was originally recorded by Falco of Rock Me Amadeus fame.
Get out.
But After the Fire, so he recorded the original German version, and then After the Fire did the English cover, which is what got onto the radio. Released in, again, 1982 and went to number one. 82 would have been an interesting year for interesting songs.
Oh, yeah.
The sound, because a lot of these have been in 82.
Yeah.
Number one in Austria, Italy, Spain, and West Germany. Not shocking. Great catchy 80s pop song. Must for every 80s playlist, I would say. Any party you go to, you probably hear this. It makes it here because the lyrics are strange. Sounds a little different. It's an 80s new wave song, so a lot of them were a little strange. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand why we have to warn everybody that Der Kommissar is in town. Is there a problem? Is he coming to do something bad? They say, don't turn around. He's in town. Well, I just want to know what the problem is.
He's just trying to be proactive.
Of what? I don't understand. What's he doing?
People like to know when people are coming over.
I guess.
I mean.
All right. Der Kommissar
is
coming.
My wife appreciates
when people know.
When she lets me know people are coming
over.
She's
not a fan of the pop-in.
I mean. I think she wants to sweep up, tidy
gotcha.
Up a tight a
all right.
bit.
Well, I'm not scared of Der Kommissar, so bring it on.
All right.
And bring on your second cut.
Oh, my second cut. Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to preface this. I think this should be an honorable mention, but I had to put it in.
Okay.
I knew of the song. I've heard it in... It's an older song, but I've heard it in recent times. but I finally listened to it for the first time, and I'm like, holy cannoli. All right, this is a song.
No, oh, okay.
I don't just make love. Oh. I be stroking. That's what I be doing. I be stroking.
I can't believe you put this on here.
I'm doing it.
I stroke it to the east, and I stroke it to the west.
I forgot about the song. One, two, it is pretty nonsense.
Oh, it's nonsense, I mean, and it's wildly inappropriate.
That's not inappropriate. Oh, people do stroke.
Let me ask you something.
It gets to the end, and he... No, I can't even...
No, the end's good, if I'm remembering it right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
It's all the places that they've been stroking.
I like it. Yeah, be stroking everywhere.
Just before breakfast.
Life just before breakfast.
Life is short.
On the couch.
Life is short. Stroke.
Have you ever made love?
Oh, so good.
While you watch the Late Late Show.
The Late Late Show.
I have made love watching it.
Well, let me ask you this.
And then he gets pulled over by the cops.
I used to try to time...
I'm just joking.
I timed my lovemaking to win Ed McMahon would go, yes.
Well, let me ask you this.
You are correct, sir.
Have you ever made
That's
love
great timing.
On the back seat of a car?
On the back seat of a car.
I think this is the longest musical clip we've ever played.
I'm going to... Because it gets to the end and...
You should have played the end.
Oh, I couldn't.
No, I gotcha.
No. Yeah.
All right. Well, tell us how you like to stroke it.
Oh, so this is by a man called Clarence Carter.
No crossover on this one.
He was an American singer, songwriter, musician, and record producer. He was born blind in Montgomery, Alabama in 1936. Wow. Stroking was reputedly deemed too scandalous for a public release or radio play. Go figure.
Sounds right.
So the record company, this is ingenious. I got to give it to the record company. So the record company placed the records in jukeboxes in bars.
Oh, yeah.
So then the patrons discovered the song.
Oh, yeah.
They loved it.
Of course.
DJ started playing the song at weddings. Strip clubs put it on hot rotation. Stroking became a minor sensation and helped the album sell 150,000 copies. Carter also became a popular live draw with the song serving as his showstopper.
A stripper song?
I don't know.
I don't know. That'd be hard to dance to that beat.
I don't know.
Take your clothes off at the time. But that's okay. I'm not a stripper. I don't have experience with that, but it seems interesting. To be fair, I think people should only strip to Motley Crue songs. So
yeah.
That's it. Those are the right strippers.
It is kind of an offbeat to strip to.
Yeah.
Anyway, he has continued recording, releasing six albums since 1996. Little trivia for you. The horn break from Carter's other well-known hit, Backdoor Santa.
Great.
Is right. Sampled in Run DMC's Christmas song, Christmas in Hollis.
Hollis.
Yeah.
Love that.
His song, Strokin', was given further acclaim when it was used in what 1996 American science fiction comedy film starring Eddie Murphy?
Hmm. I don't get any options on this.
No. This is I'm not giving you multiple choice on this one.
1996?
Yeah.
I'm just, I'm thinking 96 was Nutty Professor.
Good job. Okay. Nice job. Yeah.
Nice.
It is a remake of the 1963 film of the same name, which starred Jerry Lewis, yeah. Person. Film
Buddy Love.
Jada Pinkett and Dave Chappelle. The film won Best Makeup at the 69th Academy Award.
That's Dave Chappelle. Girls be shopping. You can't stop a girl from shopping. Anyway.
So stroking. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good.
Let's stroke.
Stroke away from that. And my number two cut is about cars.
Mm.
That's the name of the song, Gary Numan.
Oh, such a good song. I like this song. See, I didn't put it on here because I like it. I don't think it's weird.
But it is weird. Listen to it.
Very obvious. It's like it's kind of like your our house.
He's literally singing about sitting in a car. I mean, I'm sure there's some sort of analogy.
Or there's not.
It's just sitting in a car. And listen, this isn't weird. The makeup of the music and everything is very interesting. So, I think it's strange. Actually released in 1979, but did not hit the charts until 1980, so I am allowed to use it. Once on the charts, went to number 9 on the US Hot 100, number 1 in Canada and the UK. I included it because, as you said, it's about being in your car. Okay. The instrumentals are cool, early 80s sounding, but strange for sure. The change-ups of the instrumentals as far as the synthesizer, things like that. The song is about feeling safe inside your car in the modern world. So basically, it is about being in your car. And Gary Numan thought it was a place where when things get too hectic, he can just escape, and sit down, and just be not bothered by the outside world. So there you go.
Hey, sometimes
he could do some necking. He could write a letter.
You could do some stroking.
He could stroke it east and west.
Yeah.
Stroke it in the front seat, stroke it in the back seat.
On the back seat.
He could get in the trunk if he's That's getting right. froggy.
Hey.
So whatever. You can do anything in your car. And I'm sure Gary did. Right. So
No
crossover again. We're almost right. there.
Which, okay.
So take us to your honorable mention.
Honorable mention.
Keep us clean.
You're gonna like this honorable mention.
I hope so. Don't build it up like that. And
I think
then
it's
I go,
one. It's in one of your faves. I okay. think. Here we go.
Wow. Is it weird?
See,
great.
I knew you're gonna.
It's not
it.
Weird at all. Why is it weird? There's nothing weird about it. It's great. It's Rick James. It's Eddie Murphy.
Everything.
It's a great song. I played this song at a wedding. At my wedding.
You played it at your wedding?
No, I would have. Oh. The wife said no. Absolutely would not sign up.
Why?
But she likes it.
When you renew your vows.
It's interesting you play this.
This
I'll
is
wait,
not on
I'll wait till you're done. No, it's not on
okay.
Because I don't this think it's weird. We were actually right. listening to this yesterday. We were driving around Pullman, dropping my son off at college, and this song came on, and both of us were singing it because we like it. And he said, I actually don't really like this song, to which I just gave him the worst stare. And I think he thought my wife was going to be on board with him. And she said, no, I like it. It's Eddie Murphy. She goes, it's probably not a good song, but she goes, I just enjoy it as a memory.
And she didn't want to play it at her wedding.
No, that it wasn't appropriate for that setting.
If you renew your vows, you have to play.
I'm still trying just to get Glory of Love during the renewing of the vows. I'll worry about Eddie Murphy later. So I need to get Peter in first. So, yeah.
So I put it on here because I thought the 80s had an abnormally high number of movie stars trying to be artists. Like we had Bruce Willis.
It's a don't spoil too far.
Okay.
This could be a topic in the future.
Oh, okay.
So
you
could Eddie Murphy could make a repeat on our podcast at some point.
So I picked him because I just thought he was such an odd. And then I watched a couple. This wasn't his last one.
Oh no.
He did another album with Michael Jackson. He had a song with Michael Jackson.
Rick James, Michael Jackson.
It was awful.
Eddie knew what he's doing. He's not smart. He's a smart guy.
By comedian and actor Eddie Murphy, written and produced by Rick James. In addition to writing and producing the song, James also provided backup vocals. It reached number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 for 3 weeks, behind Say You, Say Me by Lionel Richie.
Very good song.
Murphy stated the song was made in response to a $100,000 bet made between himself and actor-comedian Richard Pryor, wagering on whether Murphy had singing talent or not.
And he did.
He won.
Beautiful.
It has been described as, one writer said Gumby goes disco.
That writer's fired.
So. The other one says Murphy should stick to imitating Gumby.
Also fired.
I would think today those would
I'm Gumby, damn it.
Get people canceled. The song's music video won Best Urban Contemporary Video Award at the
Beautiful.
American Video Awards in November 1985.
See, I didn't make that up. You and Kurt always give me crap about making that up. I didn't make that up. That's a saying in the world.
The term urban contemporary.
Urban contemporary. I didn't make that up.
All right, a little trivia for you. In 2014, Gwyneth Paltrow covered the song in what popular American music comedy drama television series?
Glee. Aha.
Glee aired on Fox in the United States between 2009 and 2015. It centers on the new directions, a Glee club at fictional William McKinley High School.
I'm going to say something here that may be unexpected and or controversial, but I watched Glee. My wife started watching Glee, and I watched a couple episodes, and I'm like, this is really stupid. Like, I don't. And then I watched, and then I started singing along, and then I literally sat down 5 minutes every Wednesday and watched Glee with
wife. But you couldn't get into Stranger Things.
It's too boring.
Glee was your thing.
I watched almost every episode of Glee. It's awful. But I did enjoy it, and I would sing and dance, and it was great. Okay. In the living room by myself. Not by myself, because my wife was there.
Yeah, so
she would have probably assumed it or been better off if I hadn't. But I liked it, and I did watch it, and that's the way it goes.
Gotcha. You do you.
Well, I'll do me, stroking it, right? I'll do me. My honorable mention is a futuristic piece speaking on the plight of the modern man.
What?
It is by Styx, called Mr. Roboto.
You would.
This is great, isn't it? And you're going to like this part right here. Mr. Roboto, I like the robot voice added. I think this was from some kind of like rock opera they did or something.
Did they do it?
Or he wanted to be or something? Yeah, something about Kilroy and all this.
This is like his opus.
Oh, man. I like when he comes back in with the... I think he was worried they didn't know Domo Arigato meant, so he says, just so you have the English
nice.
Translation, that Domo Arigato, that's of good. Course, means thank you very much. So, released 28 February 1983, surprisingly hit number three. I'm surprised it hit number three on the US Hot 100 and number one in Canada. UK had it at number 90, so they're probably smarter than us or the Canadians on this one. I've always felt this was a strange song, just silly, honestly. If I listen to the lyrics, it's my honorable mention because I kind of brushed it off when I was a kid, and then I listened to it again later. I don't know if I love it, but it definitely meets the criteria of what we're doing here. It's a beloved 80s classic, and there are some people out there with strong feelings about Styx, about how great Styx was. I won't sign off on that, but people do. I will say, Domo Arigato Mr. Roboto has lived in pop culture since the song came out. People still say it. And in fact, the line was used in one of the Austin Powers movies.
Oh.
He says something and he goes, Domo Arigato Mr. Roboto. So it's been around for a long time and it's very culturally relevant. So Styx.
All right.
There you go.
All right.
Domo Arigato.
Styx.
All right. So we're still sitting at four and we are on to our number ones. Hopefully we don't have the same number one.
I think we might.
Because what I have for number one has not shown up yet, and I'm shocked. So, what's your number one? Let's see what happens.
All right.
Absolutely.
Is it?
Of course. Taco. Yes. Yeah. Of course it is. I mean, this is probably the weirdest song in the 80s. And the video is the same. Did you watch the video on this one?
Well, yeah, it's blackface. Insane. The original had blackface.
The original, but not the updated one.
It's weird.
The whole thing's weird. You just listen to it. It's all weird. And the dude's name is Taco. Well, since we both have this number one, I'll lead it off.
All right, go for it.
Recorded by the Indonesian Dutch artist Taco. This is, I just said, it's one of the weirdest songs of the 80s. Mm-hmm. You want some fun? Watch YouTube. Probably the best tap dancing in a song in the 80s. There is a whole section of tap dancing in the middle of this song. Fun song that's actually a cover of an Irving Berlin tune. Mm-hmm. This version was released in 1982 and did very well. Number four in the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. Number one in Canada, Sweden, Finland, and you know it, New Zealand. They love it. Definitely an odd feel to this song, and he's got a weird name. Who's called Taco? I don't know. The video shows him looking a little crazy and scary, if I'm being honest. His teeth are way too white, and they're way too big, and they don't fit his head.
Yeah.
But this is a classic 80s song, probably on every 80s list, but a little bananas for sure,
yeah.
I think. So.
No, let's see. I had all the same things. The thing that I found strange is that, yes, it was written by Irving Berlin.
Yes.
It was written in 1927 published in 1929.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we had an 80s song using a 1920s song, I just thought that was weird.
It's crazy.
There was the tap dancing scene that was it paid homage to Fred Astaire.
Yep.
It was accompanied. Oh, the original video had blackface. The alternative version eliminates many shots of blackface.
It does.
The single was a global hit. You said that. It was reached number four. I think you said that. The song's performance made Irving Berlin, then 95, the oldest living songwriter to have one of his compositions enter the top 10. It was certified gold.
That's great.
It was his only hit. A little trivia for you. A version of this song was featured in what 1974 Mel Brooks movie where Gene Wilder does a song and dance to this song with a
Young
monster.
Frankenstein.
Nice job.
I actually had that written down too. I just hadn't read it yet. Peter Boyle does a
super duper.
There you go. That takes us up.
Wow.
So we did cross at five. So we were one off of our list there, our guess. So we were definitely thinking on the same lines, but we were way off in other areas.
Oh, yeah.
So we did have some other songs that were just way off in the woods. You had a couple, especially the Stroke It song. So. but anyway, a couple other ones I noticed, I thought about, just didn't make any list. Nightmare on My Street, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, a song literally about Freddy Krueger. Walk Like an Egyptian is actually a very interesting song if you listen and watch it. Theme song from Howard the Duck by Dolby's Cube featuring Cherry Bomb and Yellow, Y-E-L-L-O, and the Oh Yeah from the famous Ferris Bueller. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bow, bow. You had Rock Me Amadeus.
I did.
Some naughty. So Me So Horny came out.
I don't think that's odd.
But I think for the time, though, I almost included just because of the the controversial nature of the song. At the
I didn't
time.
Think it was odd.
Bruce Willis had a song there.
That's just bad. Yeah. That's not odd either.
Blinded with My Science, you had that.
Oh, yeah.
I was shocked that you did not have the Safety Dance.
I don't think it's odd. I just think it's more of a new wave pop song. I know the lyrics are interesting, but compared to the other ones I have, I didn't think it was more odd than those songs.
Mickey, Tony Basil.
I don't know if it's odd. Weird. That's an overrated pop song. I don't know that I love that song as much as it gets famous for.
Yeah. So. I found one by a character.
Oh, character.
Chunky A.
Oh.
And it was called Ow.
Ow.
And it was Arsenio Hall.
Oh.
And I remember, I found it. And I was like, oh, I remember it. I totally remember it. But he plays this overweight R&B singer.
The Fat Boys did a weird song. It was like the twist. It was like a hybrid twist with Chubby Checker. Mm-hmm. That was interesting.
They also did one with the Beach Boys or something. Anyway.
Well, that gave us a lot of interesting and odd songs. Again, you may just think they're great songs out there in listener land, but for Rob and I, we decided that they hit that weird button at times for us. So, well, hey, folks, we know how much you love the 80s and 90s. So if you haven't already done so, please hit that subscribe button, share the show with a friend. By hitting subscribe, you'll ensure you won't ever miss any episode. And by sharing it with your friends, you'll become ultra popular for including them in one of the best podcasts they can listen to. Yes, I did say that. Also, please give the show a review and 5-star rating by growing the show through positive feedback. We can build up the podcast in the future to possibly have high-profile guests and expand upon the topics that we cover. We're also now on YouTube, if anybody didn't know that. So if you'd rather see Rob and I, which we highly recommend, while listening to us, subscribe over there. We want to get that subscriber total up, and you can enjoy. You'll feel like you're right in the studio with us, this great, wonderful Recall studio. Finally, you can message us and find us on all the social media sites. Links are included in the show notes. Join our Facebook group for weekly updates and email us at 80s90srecall@gmail.com. This will give you the opportunity to be part of the show by introducing show ideas, feedback on how we can improve or elevate the show for you, and future mailbag episodes where we'll read your questions and comments on the air. We've also just this week set up a site on Bonfire where we have some merchandise. We're not telling anybody to buy it, but it's funny. It's fun. If you want to get a fun t-shirt just to wear around and have people look at it and go, what the heck is that? Mm-hmm. This is the perfect place to do it. And that link will also be in our show notes. So feel free to go peruse and you can sport how much you love Totally 80s and 90s Recall. So, well, that brings us to the end of this episode of the aforementioned Totally 80s and 90s Recall. We hope you've had fun listening to our list of odd and interesting songs of the 1980s. If you like today's musical choices, as always, we have provided links to Spotify, Apple, and Amazon playlists in the show notes so you can really experience all of these great songs in full, particularly, Rob has said, the Stroke It song, or Stroke In. I don't know what it's called. Finally, we'd like to thank all our listeners, whether first-timers or subscribers, for hanging out with Rob and I. Hopefully, we gave you an hour or so of some laughs. And don't forget to tune in for all new episodes of this show, Totally 80s and 90s Recall, every Tuesday without fail.
Well, with all that being said, what are we doing next time?
Next time, we're going to pack up, head to the woods, because we're covering the 1988 John Candy classic family movie, The Great Outdoors.
Oh, that'll be fun.
I know. That's a fan favorite in your household.
It is.
It's in the trailer.
It's in the trailer.
It's always on, ready to go, push play.
It is.
Awesome. So, you got anything else?
I have nothing else.
Fancy goodbye?
No fancy goodbyes.
No fancy goodbye.
All right. Peace out.
Peace out. Stroke through our fancy goodbyes. No?
No. No more. No more stroking.
No more. No more. I think. No more. I got to.
Mr. Robot.
Stroke it out.